And we'll talk more about how to see stars from a different point of view. Today we'll talk about how to manage our first hour. The second hour, we'll be doing the second lab for the radiology. And we'll talk more about the panoramic radiograph and also the lateral lateral sect, which is probably the most important part for your practical exam. Today's second hour lecture. I already made arrangement with Dorian. So your third and 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock, you can go and then to sign out the scholars, and then the room is still available for the PS17201. It's reserved for you, but I will not be there, right? So the room 17201 is ready for you from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock. You can stop by to Dorian. She's in the anatomy laboratory office, so you can sign the scholar off for your own review. Same thing will be for the Thursday. Thursday we have class from 2 to 3, right? And then 3 to 4, and then we laboratory session. So I'm going to see you Thursday here, 2 to 3 o'clock. And after that, you go upstairs and then take the scholar out, all right? And then I'm going to give the continue the third lecture for radiology upstairs. In the meanwhile, then after lecture, you can stay there and do more study. And that is the plan for this week. Did you guys get it?
No.
Okay. Good. All right. So the radiology part is pretty straightforward. I just want you to get you guys to do self-study. And everything I posted, that is really more than enough. Okay. If you can pick up everything, you are so advanced already. And I'm very happy about it. So once you have those foundations, you can move further more and read more articles or other paper that's all fun. Okay, so can I start the lecture today? I will emphasize the part that I think is important, all right, for your exam in this lecture, right? In this lecture. And that's the reason why, so, you know, there's no reason for you guys to hear the iPod testing twice. No point. What I would like you to do is that you come to lecture, okay, catch as much as you can, and then you know what? And then store them, and that's ready for you guys. That's what I would like you to do. So, I personally hate doing things twice, okay? I do. Well, maybe I don't. I'm a teacher, so. but my point is that if you're here, try to be focused, and then go through this, right? And then if you are able to comprehend, you know what, it's there already. You've got it already. Then you probably go through the slides one more time, and that's pretty much all you need to know. Then this is a lot already, honestly. Okay, so I'm going to tell you what are the things that you don't need to memorize, okay, because there's a lot of information right here. I'm going to start the lecture. So you guys ready? Okay. You can download everything yourself. And just dim the light. So today's lecture is about measurements, anthropometry, craniometry, and cephalometry. And this is part of the lecture series under functional craniology. This is what I should do. I have a lecture online. I will introduce the scope and the history of different measurements. I'll give you some definitions, okay, and then identify some of the landmarks, because when we do measurements, we always need to say where do we start and where do we end, right? So that is the landmark identification. And then what type of measurements, okay, some of the illustration of measuring tools, okay, and then what do we use these numbers for, right? Trying to do the age and gender, sex determination or racial ethnic determination, and then we'll move on to some comparison. So that's about this 15 minutes lecture. Should be very straightforward. All right, anthropometry. What does it mean? Okay, anthro means human, right? So measurements of any part of human body or head. That means anthropometry. Now, if we divided this measurement, we can separate into, this part we measure the bone, it's called osteometry, right? This part we measure the skull, it's called craniometry. This is how we measure the head, it's called cephalometry. And I want you to realize that cranial and cephalic, they are two different terms. Cranial means dry skull. Cephalic means head, okay? It means that there is soft tissue and hard tissue. Then, of course, odontometry measurement of the two, okay? The first one, somatometry, is measurement of the body. That's very simple and straightforward. In the beginning, we wanted to measure things. It's only because it's interesting. You know, people want to find out, where is your origin? Where do you come from, right? And that's That's original, very, very in the beginning. And then it evolved into the whole new sciences. And that's what we are in right now. Why do we need to measure, honestly? What are we trying to do? Okay. Scientifically, yes, basically we just want to know the difference, right? And then not just the difference, we also would like to know, is there any variation, okay, such as height or weight? There's such a high range of variation. But you know what? We are still within the same species. I mean, we're still human beings, right? And so there are two things that we are really focusing on. Number one is that differences. Number two is that under differences, where are the variations? So these are the two terms that you need to remember. Then under that, you know, then we find the differences between the geographically, sexual differences, okay, regional differences, no big deal. And then again, find out the variations within species, okay, within a region, okay, within a country, okay, within the same sex, and those are the two keywords. Differences and variation, okay. Now, you can also say diversity. That's also another good word to do. All right, then we apply these things to interpret, for example, like evolution or in forensic. You pick up a skull, right? And you are going to have a correlation talking about forensic. You pick up a skull, okay, somebody, you know, will die in a fire, and how do you know who the person is, okay? So Dr. Freeman, who is the son of the Dr. Freeman, right? It's going to be, of course, the same name, right? Adam Freeman is the son of Dr. Stanley Freeman, okay? He will be giving a lecture for you next week, so it's really a fantastic lecture. All right, let's move on. So what are the devices we can measure, okay? Our body, okay? Now, measuring, you can do two different ways. One is direct, okay? In your tool, I measure right away. So these are some of the examples. I'll give you some examples in later later pictures. Then, of course, we can also use indirect. Indirect means what? Other type of imaging. Taking a photograph, okay, it's a record, but you can also measure it. If you know the ratio, right, you can do the measurement. Radiography, okay, surface scanner, digitizer, you know, even MRI or CT, you know, or sonogram, those are all the measurement, but it's indirect because we use a non-invasive, okay, not approaching directly. So these are two major different methods. Let's see what other things you can see, all right? Number one, okay, ruler, right? Now, then the sliding caliper, okay, these are some sort of scientific ruler. In the sense they are non-vernier versus vernier, so we can get like 0.something, you know, like 10 digits less using this vernier device. And you open and close, I think this is pretty straightforward, right? I mean, have you guys ever used this before? Or never? Anyway, it's a ruler, okay, and basically that's what it is. So then you can read more, okay, if we have a two set up, the finer scale, so you can read one digit lower or much more precise, not just purely by guessing. All right, then there's, of course, more in the digital world, then we use this digital sliding caliper, this is from the company by Mr. Toyo, and it's very straightforward. Okay, there's a number right here, so you can read it. The key thing is that any type of the caliber, before you use it, you need to make sure you are calibrated, right? Calibrated means that everything goes back to zero, right? If you don't calibrate it, for example, you go to the gym, right? And you jump on the scale, right? Oh, so happy I lost weight, right? Guess what? It wasn't calibrated, okay? You reduced 5 pounds before you jump on it, right? So don't be too happy about it. Make sure you calibrate. That's the key, all right? Next one, let's see what else we have. Okay, the other thing we have is called spreading caliper. If you notice the spreading caliper, the tip of the caliper is actually blunt, okay? It's instead of very sharp end, it's blunt. So these things, that one is measuring the living individual because you don't want to hurt the individual. Anything sharp, when you're measuring, there's a chance of cutting people. All right, so if you use a blunt end, then the measurement will be safer. So this is called a spreading caliper. This caliper used a lot in measuring the head, okay, the circumference, which I will explain later in the anthropology. Then if you look at this, a graph, okay, or our work that talking about talking about that, you know, people are measuring, okay, and they use this called the stereometer. Now, this is during one of those, it's a Dutch war. They want to recruit people, and when you recruit people, you want someone at the same height. Why? Why do you want to recruit people? Why is it a limitation? Like, if you want to serve, and I love my country, okay, let me serve the country. And if you are a difference, okay, two side extreme, too tall, too short, then why is it they actually prefer you not to serve? Why? Yeah. Go ahead.
They have to make uniforms for you.
Yes, okay, uniform is one of the things, yes, okay. Or think about how can I say it?
On the firing line.
I mean, it is true, okay, it is really true. I mean, one of my colleagues, okay, he has circumference, it's like number 10 or 11, and then when we were in the army, he said there's never a head fit on his head, right? So that is that two-sided extreme. This also goes with a lot of the commercial usage, so we'll just say this a little bit more later, right? So this is just one of the things that you want to make sure. Another thing is that the bad size, okay, if you have somebody who's too tall, if you're short, it's okay. It's all right, you know, can do a lot. If you're too tall, then become a disadvantage because the bed is just too short for you to fit in, or the door is too low for you to, you know, gonna hit the wall or hit the top of the door before you walk in. So there is a certain inconvenience. Of course, it does not stop you from loving your country, right? Don't get me wrong, right? So, if you love your country, you know, serve your country, right? Don't let this stop you. All right. Now, for the kids, okay, you think this kid's going to stand right there and let you measure it? No, they don't. Okay, so that's them lie down. Okay, this is what we call the osteometric board. You see the end right here? So you just push this around, okay, and move it around, and you can measure the kid how tall they are. So these are all different ways of measuring. So this is, we're only talking about heights, right? We talk about heights. And of course, at different scales, we can measure about weight. And so height and weight are the two major concerns we have been interested in for a long, long, long time. Now, then Todd, after Todd created this called the cranial step. It's called half spanner. As you can see that these two sides of rock just pierced into it's called neural, right? So it's going into the opening of external olenitis. And then use that as a reference. And then on the top, okay, there's also another pin, so you can stabilize using the three. Okay, one, two, three, right? And there's another one right here. See, there's another one right here? So there are four points right here to stabilize the head, okay, or the scalp on this cranial step in order to measure the width or the height, okay, or the length or the depth. That's what it is. Of course, that these 4 points, okay, become later on the standard, okay? I'm going to repeat right here again. Three is the standard. 3 points, okay? This one is not. Is that the 2 points on the side, and that is what we call the horion, and then one in the front is called the orbitale. Okay, I'll explain later more. Okay, they come out. Now, this is just that you have a look at what it looks like. Now, of course, you can just use an easy tape, right? Now, if you have a personal tailor, it will measure, right? Measure for you, you know, the waist, okay, the chest, or the, how do you call this part? Well, anyway, so, yeah, they measure the length and then the circumference, and using a soft meter tape is very, very simple and straightforward. Now, this one is especially useful in the child, because when the child is born, how do you know that they are good or not good? Okay, usually what we do is measure the head circumference. That will determine that whether they are growing within the normal range or not. So that's called the head circumference. And the easiest way is just use the soft meter. That's it. Okay, it's very simple and straightforward. This measurement represents what? Represents the brain size, right? Okay, using the circumference to see the brain grow. Okay, so if they are an average individual growing average way, then there's a certain number. So we can use this number to use as a reference to determine whether this individual is relatively healthy or not. Okay, if the baby's growing, the head is too small, okay, there's a problem. If the head's too big, there's also a problem. Usually that indicates the two sides extreme, okay, indicates abnormality, and that is what it is. And then, of course, with the modern technology advancement, now we use something called this is a surface scanner, okay, the surface scanner, and then using the line, okay, shadowing on the body, And then we can scan the surface, okay, not just measuring the height, the weight, okay, not just the volume itself, okay, we'll measure the surface. So this is embodied imaging. This is how it does, okay, you just stand right there, and then you go through the scanning, okay. Instead of the CT, you do that this cut, right? It cuts through everything. But then this is a surface scanning. Now, I think it's a Brooks Brother or what company actually offered this to the guys. You just walk in there and they have a scanner, and then they do a shot for you, and then they have the perfect suit size for you. You guys know this?
No.
Oh, you want a personal customer. Now, so this is what has been developed, right? So, and it has been working. It's not the same thing for you in the future is that before you do the operator, okay, and then, oh, the tooth is pretty good shape, okay, but the carry is in there, right? You want to remove the carry and then want to restore the original surface structure. How do you do that, right? So what you do is very easy, okay? If you have a scanner, right, scan the morphology, and then after that, okay, you remove all everything out, then you transfer all these information into what we call the computer assisted manufacturer, okay, CAM. You guys know this term? CAM, okay. CAD and CM, computer assisted design, computer assisted manufacturing. Then they can produce, okay, the computer will do the powder printing, compress the powder, and then generate a similar block for you, right? And right now the outside world is using this way, okay? So you prepare your crown bridges, okay, and then once you prepare, you still have an initial model, okay, before you prepare. You want to make exactly the same, perfect. So just use the same model. That's it. And it's the same technique, surface scanning. Okay, well, then we can also do this, okay, put the CT scan, right? We cut it and then just compile it together. As you can see the compiling, this definitely is a skull, right? Is it a dog skull or a baby skull?
Baby skull.
Why is it a baby skull?
The fontanelle.
Fontanelle, excellent. So how do you call this fontanelle?
Anterior.
Frontal.
Anterior, right? So how many open do we have? There's anterior, frontal, there's posterior, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we have two sets of lateral. There's a lateral anterior, lateral posterior. Now, frontal is the area when the cerebral bone come together. So there's like an opening over there, and that's what we call frontal. Now, these frontal serve certain different purposes, as Dr. Mossan has mentioned to you. In the early days, okay, before the fetus is born, the head, okay, the brain size is already larger, okay, larger than the outlet, okay, the outlet of the pelvis. Now, as you know, that the mother's pelvis, okay, or the outlet is critical, because if the baby's head cannot pass through it, then you know what, those are gonna die. So, what is the way to make sure that head can go through? Right. The only limitation is the bone, right? Bones are hard tissue. So if I can allow the bone to overlap, the brain can, you know, can reshape a little bit, make it a little smooshy, whatever, that's okay. If you don't need it, okay. I shouldn't say the word smooshy, sounds really bad. Now, so let's allow the bone to overlap a little bit, right? And then elongate the brain so that they can pass the birth canal and then can deliver very safely. And that's what happened, okay? When the baby just out of the mother's womb, okay, their head usually looks a little bit more elongated, okay, or their face looks really strange and ugly, all right? So it has been said that when the babies come out of the mother's womb, okay, just being delivered, okay, don't show the mother yet, all right? Just wait a little bit, let the bone just like slowly reopen a little bit so the hatchet, everything looks a little bit more normal. Right, so, I don't know, I'm not an OB-GYN doctor, so, but that's what has been recommended. That's fine. Now, look at these two individuals. Okay? If we do a sort of CT scan, all right, this is, what suture is this one? That's essential, right? What is this one?
Coronal.
What is this one?
It's a...
What's that?
It's a patient frontal. A patent front.
Oh, what's that? Say it again.
Metopic.
What's that? Metopic. Excellent. Okay. Now remember this. This one has what? Frontal bone. Every bone we talk about, 22 whatever bone, we are talking about adult stage. Now in the fetal stage, the bone may be started with 2, 3, 4 whatever, and then the bone will ossify and then fuse together. So frontal bone started as a 2-piece of bone, right side and left side, right? And then they fuse together. So initially, this is what we call the metopic suture. So some of the skull, you can still see there's a little suture line right here. If you look at it again, right, in this region, okay, we call the glabella region, okay, you can see a little suture line in between, if you look at it carefully. That is the metabolic suture. Now, if we look at this one, right, this suture is all right, it's already fused, right? Refused. Right, this one is not, oh, this is the broken one. Yeah, that's what it is. And this one is actually abnormal because this is early suture. It's early fusion. And once it fused, then the head shape is not flat. Look at the head shape. Become what? Almost like web shape, right? So that's the early fusion of the metabolic suture. This is what happened. All right, so this is another imaging technique. So we can use these to do either measurements, okay, or to describe. We want to jump one step ahead, okay? Not just the size, okay? We also look at the shape as well, right? So those are all the things we want to measure. Not just the size, but also the shape. Okay, good. Let's move on. Now, craniometry. Measurement of the human dress spot. That's very simple and easy, all right? Now, how do we measure the dress spot? Again, okay, we can use what? Use a direct, indirect. Okay, direct just means that you bring out a caliber and then just measure it. Indirect, you can use, usually we use the X-ray. Now, in measuring of the scalp, then we face some other issues. Okay, number one, true and relative landmark. Okay, what do I mean by that, true and relative landmark? For example, the junction of the frontal bone, okay, and versus two parallel bone. Do you know the name of it?
Bregma.
Excellent. Okay, so that landmark is what? It's a true landmark because you know where it is, okay, and you can identify exactly the same location as it is, okay. Now, there's what we call the relative landmark. What do I mean by relative? Relative landmark means that it may not exist. You can't really identify. It depends on how you do it and you may move. For example, okay, if I'm trying to say, where is the widest part of my scalp? Okay, so you can write, you start measuring, right? Okay, smoke, I got it. Okay, this is the widest part. And then we name that location called ureum, right? Ureum. And so that ureum, that landmark point, is not, okay, the term will come up later on, okay, that term is not a true landmark, it's a relative landmark, because it depends how you measure it. Every time you measure it slightly differently, that point may move, alright, so that's a relative point. At the same time, on the x-ray, sometimes you see the ghost image, or it's called the artifact image, right? And we use those, doesn't exist, those lines form, it doesn't exist. And then we use the intersection of those fake lines, not a true lines, and then we give them a certain name. So those are relative landmark points. All right, then again, we have a bilateral structure, right? So there are points in the middle, there's only one point. Mid-sagittal line, only single landmark. The things on the side, then we get two landmarks, okay? So Bregma, we only get one, right? That's only one. But if you move to the side, we can have a sterion or pterion, okay? These are different terms. I'll explain later, okay? I'll tell you exactly what you need to know, right? So then these are the landmarks, which is bilateral structure, okay? For example, like the ureum we have, okay? The widest part of the head, okay? Ureum and zygium, yes. So that is the widest part, and these points is bilateral landmark. Alright, now, what are the other measurements we can do? We can do qualitative, okay, or quantitative. Quantitative is metric, okay, the other one is just description, okay, large, small, okay, that is the quantitative or non-metric, okay. And the metric part we can divide it into either use an angle, okay, we can do an arc, yeah. What is the radius? The linear, okay, a volume, proportional. So these are all different ways of doing the measurement on the dry scalp. Now, once you have a single measurement up, then we can put two numbers, okay, into one set, then we will get a ratio, right? Once you get a ratio, then we don't call it ratio anymore. We call it indices. And that's what the new term is, okay? Instead of using the ratio, we call certain different indices. And then based on indices, we can interpret different type of shape I'm gonna get into that later, okay? It's all in here. Alright, let's try to see some of them. Okay, you don't need to remember this, right? You don't need to remember this, because I know it's gonna drive you crazy, alright? Now, so there are a lot of points, so you can identify yourself or anybody else. So I just want you to know, there are mid-sagittal points. That's the key. And then we also, these are all the different points, whatever, it doesn't matter. Then we also have what we call the bilateral points, okay? So, traditional landmark of a skull has two sets. One is mid-sagittal, it's only along the midline, okay? Then we also have sets, which is bilateral, right? Now, so these are all the terms that people have been using to describe and also to know. Now, this is the one I want you to remember, right? I'm gonna go through this one by one. These are the terms that you have to know, right? I'm gonna go through one by one. Now, most of this you have already studied with your scalp, so you can match everything with you. Number one is called Bayesian. The point, the midpoint of anterior margin of the foramen magnum. You know foramen magnum, where is it, right? You know foramen magnum, right?
Yeah.
The most anterior point, okay, of the foramen magnum is called the Bayesian. Fine, that's easy, right? Alright, second one, okay. Brachma, yes, we talked about already, right? Corner suture and center suture, they join together, called brachma. Fine. Glabella, okay, if my face turn on the side, okay, this point, okay, the most anterior point, okay, almost at the junction of my eyebrow, and that point is called the glabella. That's pretty straightforward, right? Okay, then next one, again, urium, okay, the widest part of the head, urium, right? Next one, nephion, okay, nephion is most anterior. Nephion means jaw, right? Nephion, okay, so the point on the jaw, okay. Nephion, the most anterior inferior median point on the border of mandible, so somewhere right here. Now I want you to differentiate nephion and then nephion and gonium, okay. Next one is pogonium, is it right here? Down there, now this one. Make sure you separate pogonium and then the nephion. The pogonium means the most anterior. Now again, when we have a contour, you have what? This contour, we have most anterior, right? Most inferior, we also have most anterior inferior. You follow me? If this is an arc, okay, we have the most anterior point, and also most anterior inferior point. So in a sense, when we try to differentiate a point, we have three different points. Now, one point I just mentioned is called nephion. So nephion is the most anterior, okay, and inferior. So it's in between, right? Then the next point, the most anterior one is called the pogonium. Now, the third point, the most inferior point of the mandible is called mentum. Okay, let me say it again. Along this part, we have the lower jaw, where the most anterior point of the chin, most inferior point of the chin, and also most anterior inferior point of the chin. These three points have a different name. The most anterior point of the chin is called pogonium, right? Pogonium, right here, pogonium. The most anterior inferior point of the chin is called the nephion. The most inferior point of the chin is called mentum. Got it? All right, good. Let's move on. Now, next few ones, okay? Next few ones is actually very straightforward. Lambda. Lambda is the junction, okay, again, it's a suture point. It's the intersection of the bandular suture, you know what bandular suture is, right? And then the central suture. So that point is called lambda. Now, next one, mastoideal, okay? Mastoid process, you know where it is, right? Mastoid process, okay? The lowest point of the mastoid process is called the mastoideal. That's easy, right? The mantle you know already, okay? Nasion. The junction of the nasal bone together with the frontal bone is called nasion. Okay? That's good, it's very straightforward. The next one is a little bit harder to understand, this one. Opisocranium, right? Now, this point, right? Now, if you think about glabella, what I'm doing right here, is the most anterior point of the head. Then, opisocranium is the one in the most posterior inferior point. So, in a sense, glabella and then opisocranium forms the maximum length of the head. Are you see what I mean? I want to make sure you follow this one, right? So, glabella is the most anterior point of the head. The opisocranium is the most posterior point of the head. So these two points will form the maximum cranial length. Good? All right, so a few more points to go. Okay, orbitale, the lowest point, like this orbit, right? Inferior marginal order of the eye, okay, the lowest point of the orbit, okay, or orbital rim, is called orbitale. All right, fine. Pogoni, you know already. Porion, external audio nearness, right? This era, right? The highest point of the external audio nearness, highest point, is called the porion. Then zygium, the widest part of the face, is called zygium. Are you still with me? Do you want to go through this one more time?
Yeah.
All right, let me say it again. So, just follow me, all right? Basium, the most anterior point margin of the foramen. That's good, right? Now, three points that are related to the suture, okay? One is what? One is brachma, right? Brachma will be what? Corner suture and then septal suture. That's one, right? The other one is called the lambda, right? Then we have the septal suture and then also the lambdotal suture. Oh, actually it's only 2 points. That's fine. Then 3 points related to the chin. The most anterior part point is called pogonium. Then the most inferior point is called the natnium. The most inferior point of the chin is called the mentum. So we have the pogonium, and we have the natnium, and we also have the mentum. Alright, fine. Then the most anterior point of the head, glabella. Those posterior point of the head, of the subcranium. The lowest part of the orbit is called orbitale. The highest part of the external nearness is called the porion. The widest part of the face is called the zygium. The widest part of the head, right here, okay, face and head, okay, head will be called urion. And then the tip of the mastoid is called the mastoidale. I think you guys are good, okay. Right. Let's move on. Sounds good?
Yeah.
Alright. So with all these points, okay, you're gonna have this point again, okay, later on. So that's why I want you to kind of comprehend what these points mean and very straightforward. Now, as Dr. Tommy mentioned to you that if we pick up a spot, how do you know which orientation we are going for? We have no idea. Now, so back in 19th century, that a conference it was held together to determine that how do we standardize that reference plane. So what they have done is that they say, you know what, when we walk, okay, how do you walk? You walk this way, should I take out the money? Or you look at this way, it's like, you know, where are the birds? Now, we walk what? We walk based on our visual axis, right? And our visual axis is always what? Parallel to the horizon. So our visual axis is the rule number one. Then what type of plane would actually parallel to the visual axis? Usually that is what we call the natural cat position. Okay, my eyes this way, okay, and my head this way, so this is the natural cat position. And as most people put their head on the natural cat position, as it turns out, most of the time, the orbitale, which is the most lowest point of the orbit, and also the porion, which is the highest point of the external nearness, they form a line. And that line is usually parallel to the visual axis, usually parallel to the natural position, so we call that Frankfurt horizontal plane. Got it? Okay, so that's it. Okay, so we use that as orientation, make sure every scar we see is the same way to do the measurement. And that is the critical thing, it's the standardization. Fine. This is my overview. Then again, yes?
Sorry, that standardization, it says, and the left orbital. So the right and left orbital, axis is only to the left orbital?
In the beginning, we only use 3 points. Remember, 3 points forms a plane.
Yeah.
So
okay.
in the original, we use 2 sides of porion and use the left side of the orbitale. Yeah, but in general, you know there are 2 sides of orbitale. Unless your eye is one side off, okay, they should be on the same. We're all together on the same point. But the original standardization is 3 points. And that's what it was. Yeah. Now, these are the left review, and then I want you to see is that when you see a skull, okay, then you should be able to see through it. Now it become a different story, okay. Number one, what you have done is that in your third block, you're going to learn not just the bony landmark, okay, what are these plays, okay, like an arch, okay, or a condyle, or a corneal process. Now, then there are other areas that actually has muscle attachment or soft tissue over there. But right now, what we are doing is that we're not talking about all these things, we're just talking about measurement. So, if we put the skull this way, okay, and this is Frankfurt horizontal, right, orbitale and then porion, then we can position the head, everything is consistent. Then as you can notice that there are different points, okay? Actually, we went through most of the points already, all right? And I don't want you to know more than other points, okay? That's enough to digest right now. And so the head has been this way, lab review, okay, we have different true anatomical landmark, okay, and we also have what we call the cranial matrix landmark, and that's what it is. Alright, then we have the frontal view, alright. Then again, there's a different type of measurements we can generate from at different points. And that's what it is, okay. Then let's see the basal view. Also we have more different points. For example, like the widest point, okay, of the face, we call it zygium, right? So it's right here, you can actually see right here, zygium. And then the widest point of the head is called the urea. And those are the two most usually used points. And then basium, right? Most anterior point of the foramen magnum, right? And then we also have the opisocranium, the most posterior point of the head. So then the glabella was on the other side. Then for us as a dentist, okay, we need to measure the width of palate because we create all the dentures or doing appliances, you need to know the width of these numbers. But it's just for you to just for you to know right now, okay? I don't want you to remember all these things, okay? It's not necessary. Now, originally that people start using even drawing to see how our body can grow from the child, okay, or fetus to the baby and then to adult. And that is something, remember that the Homo sapiens lecture, she talked about the nami growth, logarithmic growth, okay? And that is it's like almost like a spiral growth, and that's what exactly happened right here. So we do grow much larger, and we look similar, okay, we look similar, but that proportion is never the same, right, it's never the same, so be very aware of that, right, now, I just mentioned that, okay, once we have two points, we can create different type of the length, breadth, or depth, right, so these are, whatever you can create, okay, any two points, you can create all kinds of different possibilities. And if you are into a science that if you have a fossil record or you have a forensic specimen, you want to take all these measures because all these measures will, in a way that refer us to the references that what they may be. Okay, so these are very extension measurement that you don't need to know. I mean, you don't need to remember all these things. Okay, now. Besides all these measurements, okay, we can also get into different type of angles. So once you have three different points, we can form an angle, right? Then we can also have what we call the arc. For example, like this point, and become an arc. Okay, instead of direct distance, then we form an arc, and that's also a type of measurements. Frontal measurements, okay. There's more right now. For example, like as I mentioned to you, right? I mentioned three basic stuff. One is that the width of the head, right? That's what? Urion, right? Maximum cranial breadth. Urion. Maximum facial breadth, that's what? Zygium, good. Maximum cranial length is what? Glabella and opisocranium. Let me repeat again, okay? I want you to remember, I actually want you to remember this trick, alright? The maximum head, right? The width of the head is what? Urium. The maximum facial width, okay, is zygium. The maximum cranial length is glabella and opisocranium. Well, that's pretty easy, right? Yeah. And then, of course, there are other things about the facial height, nasal height, but then that's a different story, right? Good. There's more of the measurements, okay? So in the future, if you see this measurement, you know what? You would not be scared, okay? You know what? Let me look at what are they measuring, okay? Where are the landmarks? That's number one. Locate the landmark. Once you find the landmark, you put two landmarks together, you know what? That's the measure. That's all. Right? I don't want you to be scared and reading all these scientific articles and like, oh my God, okay, how many different lines right there? I have no idea. No. Look at the lines and you know what? Lines have two points, right? So you figure out which two points are they measuring. For example, here, what is the point that's here, right here, between the frontal bone and nasal bone? What do you think this point is? Nasion, right? That's one. What do you think the point of the most inferior point of the chin? What do you think? Most inferior, okay, I'm not saying about most inferior anterior. They use a nasion as most inferior anterior, but I'm talking about most inferior, that we're going, mentum, right? That's it. So then we have two measurements, that right there. So these all depends on how you define the landmark, and then you can get all these measurements. Okay? Again, the palette is very important, so we want to measure how long is a palette, how width is a palette, right? And then how deep is a palette, because the deeper palette, you're going to have a taking impression that could be a little out, right? Or narrow arches, and so these are the things that you eventually learn more in the later dental work. Now, as I mentioned, now, if I have two sets of measurements, okay, how do I play with it? Then we form a ratio, right? Once we form a ratio, we don't call ratio in this case, we call index, right, index. Among all these index, I would like you to at least know some index of it. I'll refer this in a later time, okay? Now, the first index is called the orbital index. Now, why do we want to use index? Because originally, we don't have a way to describe the shape. Why would this two-line ratio tell us about the shape? Why would that be? Can you tell me? If I have index, for example, this orbital index, okay? Orbital height, okay, and then orbital width. Height, and then the width. So if I have a wider width, and then a shorter height, the number will be what? Less than one, right? If I have a taller height, and then shorter width, then the number will be larger than one. So then you know, if I have a number larger than 1, it's probably tall and thin, right? If I have a number less than 1, it's probably wide and narrow. So that is the first way to infer you that, oh, the shape may look like that. Of course, then this shape description is very, it's not accurate, because then we don't know whether it's round or rectangular. We don't know, right? We can't tell, unless you give another description called what is the radius of it, right? That's what it is. So orbital index, okay, we can use this and then get some sort of what we call the kanji, okay? Kanji means orbital, okay? I do not want you to, this is just for your reference only, right? This is just for your reference only, for the eye. Now, it's the same thing, whenever there's the opening, you want to describe the shape, right? Then how do I describe the shape of the nose, okay? Is it long, is it wide and narrow, okay? Or long and narrow, or wide and short, okay? So we can have what we call the nasal index. Then we use the nasal breadth, and then versus the height, okay? And in this case, okay, nose, right? Nose, so we use rhiny, like rhinitis, nose, okay? The lateral means narrow, meso means average, and platy, okay, platy is a different term, means flat, okay, flat or wide. Then we can describe what you have seen into a different type of the shape, and that's the nasal index. Now, these two I would like you to at least remember, okay? One is called the cranial index. Now, cranial index means this top, okay? If you see me from the top right here, okay, cranial index. Now, this cranial index, as I mentioned right here, okay, cranial breadth, okay, cranial breadth. What is the breadth? This here, right? Cranial breadth. Urine, urine, right? I mentioned earlier. That's the breadth, okay? And what is the length? Blah, 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 where? To the upper cranium. Good. So we use these two and then do a dividing line. We get what we call the cranial index, okay? Now, basically, okay, these are the terms. The average one is called the mesocranium. And then the number is about 75 to 80. Then if we get the head much more squarer, then the index number getting higher because the measurement is the breadth divided by the length, right? So if we get squarer and squarer, then you go more and more closer to 1 and then become bradycranial or hyperbradycranial. And then if we have a long and narrow head, long and narrow skull, we call it dodecocranial. Now, do me a favor. Look at the head of the people sitting in front of you. Can you decide what type of head shape they have? No, don't turn around. Just look at that. Lauren, just let me enjoy your head. So, these are the head shape. Now, why is the head shape so important? Because if you think about it, the head shape, most of the time, actually coincide with your face shape. Your face shape, most of the time, coincide with your what? Your arch shape. And then your arch shape, and then the face shape, you're going to most likely coincide with your dentitional measurements. Wouldn't that look really, really off because somebody who has a long face but very, very short teeth, right? So we are moving into not just the measurement, also moving into the judgment of the beauty, right? Or harmony, or balance, okay? So this is the area that, you know what, is really your territory, okay? Because you're going to make something look nice, beautiful, functional, okay? With that simple crown. Simple resolution, right? If she has a long face, right, and you make the crown so short and then fat, okay, she will kill you, honestly. I would, right? I would be so upset. What the hell are you doing to me, all right? No, so these are the way of how you view things. Now, when we see things, one thing is how you describe it, but the other one is how we measure it scientifically, okay? We want evidence, we want numbers. So this is a number, right? If you tell me, her head shape is a square type, okay? Then how do you translate into numbers? Oh, are you saying that she is or he is Miso Queenie or Brady Queenie? You know what, when you use this term, my God, you know, it's a totally different level, right? And then you can use the numbers for yourself. In fact, this is what it is. Fine. Now, let's move on. Of course, as you can see right now, most of the people, if they sleep, okay, if they sleep on the belly's down, okay, they tend to sleep this way, right? And then their face tend to be a bit narrower, okay? And then the head, I think, is narrower too. Instead, if you sleep on the board, you know, most of the Asian, okay, the kids just sleep on the board this way, right? And then the back of the head is flat. Then the head will be much squarer. Yeah, I think my head is a little bit flat in the back because I sleep on the wood board before when I was a kid. And so there is also what we call the cultural differences as well. So anyway, so these are basically how we can determine that, oh, maybe since we have more people that way, maybe they are from their origin. That's all, okay? Those are what we are trying to do, the scientific interpretation. Good. So this is good. Cranial index, you guys are good, right? Cranial breadth divided by cranial length, right? And then these are the numbers that I really prefer you at least remember it, okay? Because these are the things you probably use most often in the future. That's one. Now, cephalic index is the same as cranial index. But we talk about cephalic, we're talking about this with a soft tissue, okay? That's the only thing. Cranial just means only the dry stuff. Cephalic index has it with a soft tissue. Now remember, in the beginning, we measure the living individual using what we call the head spanner, right? Those spreading caliper has a blunt end instead of a sharp end, and we use those. Then in this case, we have the same thing, follicle, meso, brady, hyperbrady, but then change it into the cranny, into the cephaly. That's it, okay? The rest number is all the same. Of course, it's one type, okay? Instead of square, right, instead of long and narrow, we also have what we call the triangular shape. How do you describe that? We can't really describe it. Based on this number, we can't. Round, we can't either, right? Dynaric, we can't. Those dynaric head shape is from the top, you see that the back is white, it's almost like a triangular shape of the head. But then, again, these numbers will be something similar to any of the square or rectangular shape. So this type of description, there is a flaw, right? There's a flaw. All right, next one. Facial index. I want you to remember this one as well. Now, what is the facial index? Remember that we have our hands three parts, right? We have the neurocranium, we have the skull base, okay, a separation of the face and then the brain structure. Then we have the face. So face itself, what is the face, honestly? This is the face or this is the face? Which part do you consider? When you see me, everything shows up as a face, right? But then in a biological term, okay, or in the developmental term, our face is only below the eye, okay, and into the chin. That is the part of the face. Because behind the frontal bone is what? It's brain. So that's a neurocranium. It's not a facial or visceral cranium. It's not. Different origin, right, different developments. Right? So facial index is right here. Now, facial index, what we do is that we use a total facial height, okay? Now, height is right here, right? Remember the nasion, okay, to mentone, or nasion to nasion to nephion, doesn't matter. This one, okay, divided by this. Are you with me? This one divided by this. And we'll get a facial index. And this index shows us that whether the face is square or it's long and narrow. And that's pretty much it. And then the word is using is that you can use this traditional term called prosody. Okay? But if you use this word, most of you say, what? What are you talking about? Okay? So most of the time, people just use the word facial, like mesofacial, okay, or dorsofacial, maybe easier. That's all. And so these are the two different ones. Are you okay with this one? These are the two terms that you're going to use much, much more often. One is, okay, long and narrow face, okay? You usually call, okay, we use the lateral, okay, they can call it donical or lateral facial. That's fine. Okay, either term is fine. Then we have the brady, okay, brady means white, right? Brady facial or brady cranial, and that's the one. And the last one will be the meso facial or meso cranial. Those are the three usual terms, okay. Dotical is narrow or long, okay. The other one is meso, okay, the average, and the last one is ready. So usually there's three terms. If you heard these terms, at least you know what they mean, right? And so this is what I just do a little transformation of the face, and you can see it right here. Now, in the biological world, we call male-female as a sex, right? Because that's a biological identification, right? So if you have a male hormone, female hormone, and develop different type of genitalia, okay, that is called a sex. So it's a biological term. What does gender mean? Can somebody tell me? Gender means sex, right? Sort of, but not really. Gender means how you perceive yourself sex-wise, right? So if I perceive myself as a female, then my gender is female, right? But my sex is still male. That's the difference, right? So if you want to be politically correct, then you use the term, okay, gender, not sex. But in the medical field, you want to do with the sex. Why is that? Because you want to treat the man as a man, treat the woman as a woman, okay? So just be very aware of the differences, okay? One is a social cultural term. Gender. The other one is a biological term, sex. So either way, it's right, but then don't confuse yourself, right? Because biologically, if this is a male, you may want to treat the individual as a male because the number may be wrong, may be different. It has to be different, okay? The red blood cell counts and will be different between the male and female, right? So how you treat patients has to be very, very aware. But then again, socioculturally, if they want to perceive as their own sex, you have to respect that. So then we use the term gender. Fine. Now, how do we tell the differences between the sex? Okay. You're going to have a lecture of this one in the forensic. Okay. Dr. Freeman will explain much more carefully. But I just want to give you some highlight. Okay. Highlight. Now, in general, the sex difference is because of sex hormone, right? That's fine. And then in general, guys are much more what? Robust, right? Bigger and robust. So when you have a much bigger muscle, when they pull, then the bone deposits much more. So if there's a scar, you use your finger to feel it, okay? You just feel it. It looks very rough, okay? You tend to be a male. Of course, you can have a super female. I don't know, right? Maybe, okay? Or they are like athletic. But in general, the one which is more robust, okay, if you look at right here, okay, general size, male tend to be larger, right, female tend to be smaller. This is very straightforward, okay. Architecture-wise, male tend to be much more rugged, okay, female tend to be much more smooth and grass-like, right. And then, what are the other things that you can see the sky and say, oh, it looks like a male and female, okay. What else can you see? Besides, you feel that it's very rugged. Okay, let's start from the front, right? Now, the frontal eminence, physical frontal eminence, right? Frontal bias eminence. Is the female forehead much more protrusive or the guys? What's that? Actually, female has much more frontal prominence. Female, not the guys. Usually the guys has a control. It's the opposite, okay? Now, in the sense that we consider that female frontal lobe is definitely developed. So I guess it's good, right? Now, so most of the guys or the men, their frontal eminence is way less. It's more on the female. Now the second one, parietal eminence. This too, okay, parietal bossing or eminence. You can call this frontal bossing, parietal bossing, okay? Now, then again, which one has more? Female has more or guy has more? The parietal bossing, parietal eminence. Huh? Yeah. Can you feel yourself and just touch yourself and see how it is? Or you don't know? Alright, now the answer is still female. Now, then again, the fetus has a similar structure. So, female and fetus, they are probably more on the similar category. From the bossing, parietal bossing, arm or femoral trait, right? Flexural femoral trait. And that's one. Now, what about mastoid process? Guys more prominent or female more prominent?
Huh?
Males, okay. Why is that? Because muscle point attached with the muscle, right? A huge muscle over there, so usually it's guys more prominent. That's good, right? Now, next one. The occipital bone. Which one has a bigger stop? And it's attached, right? So the occipital bone is much more rugged because the neck muscle attached to the occipital bone, right here. So if you touch the occipital bone, the ruggedness will show that that's probably more of a male feature, right? Now, anything else you can think of that could be male or female? There's actually a lot, right? But the problem is that it's not specific. That's a difficult portion. Because we overlap. We overlap a lot. You can have a very small male, right? And then less, a little more feminine, then you know what? The number measure will probably fit into more in the female caliber, right? So if you're aware that these are the general term, right? Very general. It just give you a gestalt observation. So based on what you see, okay, and that's probably it. Now, the other one is the orbital, the eye, okay? Today, if you go upstairs and then try to look at the orbit, usually the orbit, okay, the orbit, the shape of it, if it's much more square and large, it's probably male. Rounder is probably female. That's one. The second one is that when you're using your finger, try to feel the edge of the orbital margin, okay? Usually the sharper ones are female, the blunter one are male. And again, it fits well with the gracile, smooth, and ruggedness, okay? And wider and bigger. So those are the general terms. I want to emphasize again, right? These features are not definitely all absolute. It's relativity. And then, but it gives us a kind of a grasp that, and then you're guessing that what it could probably be. Now, besides describing it, do we have a way of measuring, saying that, you know what? What is my percentage guessing is correct? There is one equation. Now, again, the equation may fit in different type of the ethnic group, okay? Now, I'm using the word ethnic group. I didn't use the word racial group. Again, I'm trying to use political correct because race, the term is, again, biological term. Ethnic, the term is cultural, social term. But in general, right now, they will just use ethnic and also use gender. We don't use the term sex or race anymore. If you look at this equation, the larger the number is more male. The smaller number is more female. Then you look at this equation. What are these equations mean? Glabella opposite cranium. What does that mean? The next man, what? Cranial length, right? All right, now next one. Urion. What does that mean? Maximum cranial
width.
Perfect, okay. Zygium. Maximum what?
Facial
width. All right. Last one is horio-mastoideal. The height of what? The height of muscle process. Now remember, I just mentioned that if it's a guy, then it has bigger, right? That's one. So then the number is much larger than this is a male trait. And what about the second one? I just mentioned that the proud of bossing is what? More prominent in female or male?
Females.
In what? In male or female?
Female.
In female, right? Yes. So that is a female trait. So then it becomes a minus. See that now? Okay. The smaller the number, the more female. Because it means that the larger this part, and then it shows it's much more female. Then the larger the face, and then the larger the muscle process, and they are more male trait. So if you have an equation like this, okay, I want to make sure at least you know how to read it. Are you with me? Okay. The one plus means that it's more trait, right? The one minus means it's more female trait. That's pretty much what it is. So these are the four best indicators to determine the male or female. Okay, number one, the what? Maximum cranial length. Number two, what? The maximum cranial breadth. Number three, maximum facial width. Number four, the muscle size. That's about it. Okay. Based on these four criteria, it will be much easier to differentiate whether based on the measurement. Okay, based on measurement to see whether it's male or female. So this is a scientific way using a statistic and then the regression to figure it out. You understand what this means?
One question.
Go ahead.
From the glabella to the obstetral cranium, is it the arc or is it the straight line?
It's a straight line. It's a straight line. Okay. It's not an arc. It's not a chord. It's a straight line.
Yes.
Everything here is all straight line. It's a straight line. All right. Now, so again, I want to emphasize variation, right? These numbers, okay, these numbers is only give us a certain percentage confidence of accuracy. And you have to be very careful. With a different ethnic group, okay, the equation will change. It means that these factors will change, all right, will change. And this example is only for the Caucasian examples, and that's it. Yeah. Yes, go ahead.
So in this case, basically the urine measurement is the only one where a bigger value will apply versus to a female. The
rest refer to more female, yes.
And
yes.
The rest of these.
The rest of the numbers, they get larger and larger, and then they represent more male.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
As you can see, that these numbers, look at the factors, The higher the factor means that they present much more male as well, right? And the same thing. All right. Let's move on, and then it will be done in like a few more minutes. Okay. Now, infant. Okay. What's the difference between the infant and then where the adult skulls? Okay. Of course, the suture is not huge, right? And then size is much smaller. And you see different type of fontanelle. And also the thickness of skull is much thinner, right? It's much thinner. Okay. That's another one. And as the time progresses, our head, okay, gets larger. That's one. Number two is the proportion change too, because in the fetus, the facial portion is much smaller because they will grow. Remember the ugly duckling? Right? I think the girls, I mean, any of us, okay, during the puberty, we grow. We grow a lot on the facial region. But our head does not grow as much. So then the proportion change. So that's as the time change, okay, the proportion will be changed and also size will change as well. Then this one, I'm going to skip this one because it's not no more accurate. But Dr. Jin will explain a little more regarding this area, how do we differentiate different people from different ethnic origin. Then we can use this to interpret maybe different types of species. Okay, for example, like this will be a female chimpanzee and female gorilla, and what are type of traits, okay, and then do they have a much bigger torus, okay, or much protrusive face, okay, and then use these to infer some of the measurement on the fossil records, and that will be totally into the anthropology or paleoanthropology, and those are totally different category, right? More of this, okay, if you see the different size and different shape, then you're going to say, oh, maybe this is the part, okay. Different size and shape. Are they the difference between the male and female, or are they the difference between two different species? See, that's the question, right? That is almost debatable. When you have something you don't know, and you can debate, okay, size difference could be different sex, but could be different species, right? So be very aware of what you are doing the measurement and how you interpret the data, right? Then there's, again, the shape, okay, from the back, right? Our modern human shape is rounder, and then with the urine much wider, and the muscle much narrower, if you look at this one, okay, this is modern, right? Modern. And then in the past, these are archaic, or the Homo erectus, they have a wider base, and then much narrower top region, much narrower. That means that the different parts of the brain probably develop in different time, okay, or the development of the proportion is very different. So it depends on the shape. We can use a different type of interpretation, and that's why we call this functional craniology. All right, I think this is enough for you. And then once we move into the soft tissue structure, and then we measure more. So cover the soft tissue, then we can use the same information, okay, just slightly different, slightly different technique to measure it. Because what happened is that skull is dead, right? With the soft tissue, we are growing individual. Growing, we are growing. Then we need to know that, can we do something about it? If somehow someone is diseased, well, how can we use these numbers to identify the problem? And then, by using this number, we can help them to develop something to have a normal life. And that's pretty much what it is. So there's a lot of computation, all right? And then we use it into cephalometry, all right? Or a different area, for example, like in the dental facial orthopedics, okay, or cranial surgery, and also balance. So these are the areas we'll talk a little bit more on Thursday. And ooh, this is pretty much what it is. You use indirect method to the tracing, all right? X-ray, I'm going to do more about this in the next hour. And a different time, again, different landmark, right? Again, different landmark. Now, there's a true landmark, there's relative landmark, right? And then we can do different type of measurement again. There's an arc, there's an angle, okay, linear, and we can do ratio, and it's all the same thing. And we do other transformation, draw the different line and see whether they can converge or diverge, and then find a different type of what we call the trend, using different type of trend to know how they grow, or how can we alter the growth, and then so that we create a much healthier environment for the individual. Other things, if you are from engineering area, then move into a different type of method of analysis. And I think that's enough for this hour's lecture. Any questions for the measurements of the skull so far? Are you guys okay? All right, why don't we take Kenny's break?
Oh, actually, I want to, do we, when yes. we're born, do we still have the
say again?
When we're born, do we still have the frontal suture? And then it closes, or?
How do you spell that? Yeah, what's the frontal?
Metallic suture.
But are we born with a frontal suture still, or has it completely closed?
Most of the time we are, most of the time when we are born, some is closed, some is not.
Okay.
Is that metabolic
suture?
Oh, thank you.